No positive coronavirus tests inside the bubble. That's good. A little love for the second unit. And we continue on to the 2015-16 season on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I am one of their Boston Celtics beat reporters, and I'm welcoming you back to a Tuesday Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you if you're new. Thanks for checking it out. Hope you enjoy the show. Today, a few little news items in the first segment, and in the second and third segments, the offseason prior to the 2015-16 season. We get into the draft, and really a lot of just the draft in this particular episode, and we're going to build up to, over the next couple of days, the off season and what that season meant in the long run for the Boston Celtics. First, let's start with this. The NBA and the Players Association announced no new positive results in coronavirus testing from inside the bubble, which is awesome, but just the start. They have built this thing. It's working so far, and this is great news that it's not hanging around inside the bubble. Like they did the job. They got everybody in. The setup, the testing before that weeded out a bunch of players, and delayed some of their returns, worked. The delayed start inside the bubble, allowing those guys who tested positive to then test negative and get inside the bubble, that worked. And now everybody who's in has tested negative. So right now it's working, but there is still so long left that we can't get too excited about it working right now. I'm comparing this to like a rocket launch. The most dangerous part of the rocket launch is actually firing up those engines and getting that thing off the launch pad. And right now, the rocket has left the launch pad. It still has to get through all of the progressions it needs to get through, and then it needs to get into orbit, and then it needs to land. Right now, we're at the launch phase. But so far, so good. The problem is it only takes one moron to do something stupid. And I'm looking at Dwight Howard because he's probably the most likely moron to do something stupid. But it just takes one. And it just takes one person to get too comfortable and to say, oh, we're fine. The problem with this bubble is that it's, as people have said, not a true bubble. And bus drivers come in, employees come in, packages come in. There's always the risk of it coming in. So just because there are no positive results in this round of tests doesn't mean there won't be one down the line. Now, hopefully there isn't. Hopefully this holds. It would be so awesome for the NBA if they can get in here, do this, finish the season, and have no positive tests. You know what that would mean? That would mean that doing this the right way still allows you to get your business done, but if you still socially distance, if you wear your masks, you protect yourselves, you can live your life fairly normally, okay? Just a little bit of sacrifice. But if they screw it up because somebody is a moron and doesn't wear a mask or doesn't take the proper precautions and gets lazy, then it just proves the point that's been going on in this country for so long that if you don't take it seriously, it's going to burn you. So far, so good. We'll leave it at that. Not much more to say here. I want to shout out Tommy Heinsohn, who has been rehabbing over the past few weeks after a blood clotting issue. hopefully that subsides and Tommy can get into the studio and start calling these Celtics games. They're doing it from home. Not from home, from like the studio. They're going to be watching a feed and calling the game as the feed is coming in. So they're not going to be in Orlando. There's no need to worry about that. He doesn't travel anymore anyway. But just sending thoughts out to Tommy Heinsohn. As far as practice goes, we learned that Tremont Waters suffered a concussion. Don't know what caused it, but he is in the concussion protocol. He's in the like late stages of the concussion protocol. We're going to see at some point he'll get out of it. But he had earlier on in this whole reopening, Brad Stevens had some really great things to say about Tremont and others, but Tremont especially. And so hopefully, if it's only been a few days, then hopefully the concussion was not very, it wasn't very serious. I shouldn't say that. All concussions are serious. It won't last. The symptoms aren't lasting very long. And we'll just, hopefully that works out. So feel better, Tremont Waters. Brad Stevens, in his Zoom call, kind of made it seem like the bench was doing a lot of good things. Excited for the second unit. Said guys have made the right strides. That's what he said. He didn't say much, but at this point, we're looking for any little kernel of news. And he said, our guys have done a good job thus far in practice. I think the most encouraging thing has been the play of our second unit. That would be what I'm really excited about. I think guys have made the right strides to be really impactful. What does that mean, really? It's hard to say what it means without having seen it. Robert Williams singled out Romeo Langford, Carson Edwards. Those two guys could be important players in all of this. We don't know who's going to be playing for how long. We also have a very strong possibility of, in these seeding games, the Celtics not playing their guys, the starters, the main guys, as much as we might think. So Romeo, Carson could get an opportunity. Robert Williams spoke today on Monday. He can get an opportunity. He says his hip is healthy. He is aware that he is still working on his communication and stuff like that. That's happening as they continue through the bubble. The entire second unit is apparently playing well. Now, keep in mind that the entire second unit currently includes Marcus Smart, because if the entire first unit is healthy and you've got Kemba Walker out there, then Marcus Smart would be on the second unit. So a second unit that has Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, Robert Williams, Enes Kanter, whatever your big man kind of depth chart's going to be based on the opponent, that might be enough for a playoff series. Getting something from Semi Ojeleye is, you know, you'll probably get some Semi Ojeleye minutes. Romeo and Carson, backups to the backups, may not get many minutes, but if they're out there and playing hard and working hard, you never know. Like in a playoff series, sometimes, as Brad Stevens has said in the past, you throw darts and you come up with something that will work, and it might be one of these guys. We've seen him do it before. We've seen him start Gerald Green in the past and have it work out. So we'll see what happens with the second unit. But it's good to hear that those guys are doing well. Brad Stevens also was asked about Kemba. Your daily Kemba update is that Kemba looked great running to the bathroom. That's literally the update. I'm not joking. That's literally the update from Brad Stevens. That Kemba was there. He had to go to the bathroom, and he ran pretty fast to go to the bathroom. So at least you know he's healthy enough to run to the bathroom. That's all I got. Not much coming out of practice, but hopefully this bench unit can produce and at least, at the very least, push the starters in these practices. They seem to be doing at least that much. Of course, this has a very much of a overly enthusiastic feel that comes out of any training camp. Everything's awesome. Everybody's playing great. No one, you know, no issues, no nothing. And everything seems great. We talked to Taco Fall. He didn't really say much. He misses his folks in Orlando, all the people in Orlando, UCF, all those people. Maybe someday soon he'll be able to go out there and visit them and get out of the NBA bubble, hopefully after the Celtics win a championship, right? That's the update from Monday. You're all caught up with that stuff. Now, when we come back, we'll start with the 2015-16 season. And it starts with the draft. And it starts with my guy, RJ Hunter. And I'm going to talk about RJ Hunter. You guys know, if you've followed me for long enough, you know this is personal. This is going to be something. I'm going to bare my soul. That's next.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
2015-16 is now, we're looking at the first full year of Isaiah Thomas. He becomes an all-star. This is the best two-year stretch of Isaiah Thomas's basketball career. But we have to start at the beginning, and what a momentous beginning it was. We start with the NBA draft and the Boston Celtics picking up Terry Rozier with the 16th pick. Future Hall of Famer RJ Hunter with the 28th pick. G League megastar Jordan Mickey.
Do it with a straight face.
I cannot. G League megastar Jordan Mickey with the 33rd pick, which is a second round pick. And Marcus Thornton, who we talked ourselves into for a brief moment at the 45th pick. So we'll start with Terry Rozier at 15, which was an interesting selection. I think some people might have had some other opinions. I, at that point, was maybe pushing for Bobby Portis. There are other names that, as you go down past 16, that have, you know, fairly, like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Let's see, as I scroll down, Montrezl Harrell in the second round was available. Even somebody like Rashawn Holmes or Willie Hernan Gomez. There are names here in the Pat Connaughton was in this draft. Norm Powell is in this draft.
Well, so far, nobody that you're blown away by, though.
No one that I'm blown away by, but, you know, people that maybe have, that maybe would, people say, instead of Rozier. Yeah. But nothing crazy. Montrezl Harrell would be the guy that I'd be looking at. So,
well, what I remember is that we were a little confused as to why was Danny picking a backcourt player, because really seemed like they needed size and seemed like they had a pretty full backcourt to begin with. So we didn't know. I mean, that was my initial reaction was, why do we need a guard, you know?
Right. Because he had Isaiah Thomas, he had Avery Bradley. Evan Turner was backing them up. I mean, but you know how Danny Ainge is. Like, he probably sees that as the best player available. And Danny Ainge to this day really does like Terry Rozier. Like, he's a sucker for a guy with an attitude, and Terry Rozier has always been a guy with an attitude. So I think Danny Ainge just picked a guy that he just really liked, regardless of position at that spot.
That's what he said after, but that's what he says every draft. So
right,
you have
right.
to take that with a grain of salt. But I think I agree. He has always been very fond of Terry as a person. You know, they had a rapport when Terry was in Boston, and so I think you're right. That is how that started out. And he got a good player because Rozier developed into a very solid guy, and as so many others had before him, used his time in Boston to get a big contract somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you can look at it and say that you don't get Kemba Walker without Terry Rozier being involved somehow. And I don't think that's necessarily how it goes, but he was involved in that deal. Technically, the Celtics did trade Terry Rozier for Kemba Walker. But at least something, they got something to work out there. And Terry Rozier obviously had his a fair share of success. I did not like the way he performed last season, but that's a conversation to have for another time. In the 2015-16 season, he had limited time, very limited time, only played in 39 games, only averaged 8 minutes per game, didn't really do much off the bench there. The Celtics also draft R.J. Hunter. And
cheesy trumpet music for RJ.
Yeah. So I liked RJ Hunter. I thought that he was going to be a great value pick at 28. I thought end of the first round. Here's a kid who just performed well in March Madness. He obviously hit that big shot for Georgia State, and it was he had the accolades, Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, Male Athlete of the Year. Now, granted, it's the Sun Belt Conference, so it's not like it's a big thing, but still, he had some pretty decent production, and I thought like, all right, the Celtics are getting a guy who was going to be a good kind of like shooter off the bench. And I was mesmerized by how his shot had the same kind of feel to it. And this, I'm going to get myself into the same kind of trouble when I said Juwan Johnson's shot looked like Kevin Garnett's. I, at the time, was like, man, he has that same kind of form like Steph Curry, where he shoots the ball kind of like on the way up. And he has that same kind of flick, like he's got a quick release. And once he dials that in, like he struggled shooting at first. And I said, once he dials that in, he's going to be okay. He had an off year shooting in his junior year, but the prior 2 years, he was pretty good. And I thought, this kid is going to be something.
And
he wasn't.
let me rescue you for a minute. I can understand why you would say that with the shooting form reminiscent of Curry. Because, yeah, he did sort of have that release same way. But, he was the 28th pick for a reason, I guess.
Sure.
He's I'm not dumping on RJ, John. I know you love him. I would never dump on him, but he was a Cinderella story, a perfect kind of thing that comes out of the March Madness every year, except this year. But, he hit the big shot. His dad was the coach. His father fell off his chair his rider. He had a leg problem, an Achilles injury or something. Yeah. He was using one of those rolling, riders for his leg, and he fell over and they win the game, and oh my God, that's March Madness in a nutshell right there. But, he just never found it in Boston, which is too bad because we all had the high hopes for him that you did.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. In looking through, I was trying to find what did I say about RJ Hunter? What did other people say about RJ Hunter? I mean, I'm looking at people. There's an article from on Boston.com. RJ Hunter looks like he belongs. And it looked like, and when he made his debut, it was, let's see, he had a 12-point game on 5 of 6 shooting, eighth game of his career. And, he'd come in and played, a few minutes here or there. He'd hit a few threes, and it was like, okay, I was starting to see it. He had a game later on where he was 2 for 4 from 3. And I was, you know, feeling like if he can just kind of figure it out, just slowly figure it out. He was also, like, to me, like, sneakily, like, a decent passer. Like, he could put the ball on the floor. He could pass a little bit. I thought, you know, there was something there to his game.
That's true.
Unfortunately, he never really did find it. Like, that's and the Celtics ultimately after this season, they were in a numbers crunch. They had to get rid of they had to lose somebody, and they decided to lose RJ Hunter. He lost the battle with James Young. A very short-lived victory for James Young career as well. So none of that worked out either. So, but yeah, I was always like on that RJ Hunter kind of hype train. I just, for even when he went to Chicago, he had some other, I think, decent performances. Like, every once in a while, you'd be like, oh, you know, hit that shot. Like, maybe. I thought he had, like, a cup of tea with the Rockets. And it was like, oh, he hit a couple of shots there. Every time he hit a shot, basically, I was like, yes.
Yeah,
yes!
That's it. The door is going to open now. You know, it's just too bad that he didn't figure it out, because whenever he went to the G League, he was great. And you could see he had the talent, but you know how it is with the confidence, maybe. You got to see the ball go in the hoop a few times, and then you start feeling better about yourself. That's what they always say. And he just wasn't seeing that enough. He only shot 30% from three-point land in that season in Boston. And, you know, if he had been able to make a few more shots, maybe he would have had more confidence, would have played more steadily. And but you know, he just wasn't reliable enough to get the playing time.
No, and that's that's just how it works out. And that's kind of why, like, I'm looking at somebody like Carson Edwards this past season and wondering, like, here's a guy that needed to shoot the ball and probably needed to shoot the ball a bunch to get himself into a groove. Like, Carson Edwards has a similar kind of element to his game where he could miss five or six or seven shots in a row, but he's going to come down and take that eighth one. And if that eighth one goes in, you're always like, okay, well, if that, you know, once one goes in with these shooters, then you could all of a sudden see that 0% from three turn into 50% from three in a heartbeat. We've seen it a couple of times with Carson Edwards, but much like RJ Hunter, you don't get enough playing time. That confidence starts to waver a little bit. You don't get that feel. Maybe you even still feel confident in your shot, but you just can't get that feel down yet. So Hunter never really managed to get that opportunity. I will say, though, and I want to thank RJ Hunter for coming back to Boston in the 18-19 season, last season, and in the final game of the season, Celtics at Washington, where I was there. I was at the game. I was covering that game. The ultimate meaningless game. He went off and scored 17 points off the bench on 4 of 10 shooting from 3, 6 of 13 shooting overall. I finally got my RJ Hunter game. Finally.
Congrats.
That was a game that the Celtics started Semi Ojeleye, Robert Williams, Gershon Yabusele, Terry Rozier, and Jaylen Brown. and Jaylen Brown was like, what the hell is he doing in there? PJ Dozier played 37 minutes in that game off the bench. Brad Wanamaker, RJ Hunter played 25, almost 26 minutes. And at that point, Daniel Tice was coming off the bench. He just played 13 minutes there. So anyway, so I got my RJ Hunter game. And I got my little fix.
You did.
So, interestingly enough, Jordan Mickey was another guy that, I guess, when we see these guys and you get an up-close look, and they go through training camp. I think you start to fall in love with these guys. Jordan Mickey is the second rounder. We're like, hey, this guy can. This guy's got some bounce. And he had his career's over after 3 years in the NBA. So.
Yeah, all kinds of guys like that down through the years. You mentioned James Young. He was one of them, too. You know, you come in with high hopes, and they show something once or twice early on, and you get excited, and you think, maybe we found a diamond in the rough here, but, you know, then it doesn't quite happen, and they're gone within a year or two or three. Happens all the time, unfortunately, but that's a function of picking late in the draft, or, you know, like in, you don't get a good pick, you don't get in the lottery. It's a crapshoot, like 16th pick, 28th pick. You don't know. It's, you know, it's just luck of the draw. But, you know, as far as that draft year, 2015, taking Terry Rozier at 16, it could have been worse. Could have been a lot worse. For one, right before that, pick 15 was Kelly Oubre, who got taken by Atlanta. And I hate Kelly Oubre. I hate that guy, as I think most Celtics fans do, dating back to his confrontation with the other KO, Kelly Olynyk.
Right.
And also, this was the year where Ainge reportedly was lusting after Justice Winslow and wanted to trade with Charlotte and offered a boatload of picks, but Michael Jordan held out and said no because he wanted Frank Kaminsky, and that didn't turn out so well for Charlotte.
Now, we need to talk about this.
The Celtics dodged the bullet, they say.
We need to talk about this. Oh, we're going to talk about it. We are going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about it. I'm going to put it into tomorrow's podcast. The whole Justice Winslow thing, I feel like it changed. It changed the course of Danny Ainge's career a little bit as the GM of the Celtics, as the guy who makes the moves. Because, and I'll explain it tomorrow, I really feel like he was maybe in too deep with how much he was pursuing Justice Winslow. And every time Charlotte said no, he said, okay, I'll add this. Okay, I'll add this. And he kept on adding things until he got to a point where he's like, all right, I shouldn't add any more things because this is about to become a very bad mistake. And luckily for Danny Ainge, Michael Jordan had this obsession with Frank Kaminsky, and it didn't go through. But I'll tell you what, it got close enough. And it's something that I really think taught everybody involved a lesson. So that's going to be on tomorrow's podcast, along with whatever the Tuesday update is. So please subscribe if you haven't subscribed. If you're a first-time listener, again, thank you for checking it out. Appreciate you at least taking this time to sample the podcast. Do this podcast Monday through Friday. We are so successful at doing a podcast Monday through Friday that we're inspiring other podcasts to start going Monday through Friday because they know they have to try to compete with us. But you got to try to catch us first, baby. We're doing it. We're doing it here. We're doing it on a Locked On Network. We've been doing it for a long time, and we're doing it better than you. So subscribe every day, Monday through Friday. You're going to get a podcast. Subscribe to the rest of the Locked On podcast, Locked On NBA, and there's a Locked On for any other team out there. There's a Locked On Fantasy Basketball, and there are a ton of other great Locked On podcasts, Hollinger and Duncan, Rejecting the Screen. Check them all out on the Locked On Podcast Network. Those of you who have subscribed, that five-star rating is awesome. Please give me that. Give it a five-star rating and a good written review, and that's it. That's all I need. Just a five-star rating, good written review. You don't have to send me any money. That's it. That's my money right there, those two things. Cool? Cool. We're going to talk to you next time here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.